Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host for the next 30 minutes. This is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with a mover and shaker in the entertainment business. My guest today is Chuck Ivey, otherwise known as Rabid, of the metal band Innerkill. As a recent press release put it, Innerkill is ready to service and promises to deliver. Before I introduce Chuck, though, let's have a little sample of Innerkill. This is a track called Deadlust. Hi, Chuck, and welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Do you prefer to be called Chuck or Rabid?
Chuck's fine. Rabid is just something that I use just kind of over the internet. I took a personality test once, and it said that I had a rabid personality, so it just kind of stuck.
Perfect. Right. Everyone needs a good screen name.
Right.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Innakill. As I understand it, you're based in Roswell, New Mexico. Seen any aliens around lately?
You know, Simon, I see them all the time. You know, they're not kidding when they say it's the UFO capital of the world. I see aliens walking down the street, down Main Street, window shopping, and in fact, this is no joke. I have neighbors that wear tinfoil hats. Yes.
Perfect.
Well, I don't know if that's perfect, but that's what they do.
That sounds more like something you'd find in some of the weirder parts of California.
Yeah, you're right.
I was just kidding. Can you tell us a little bit about the band? Who is in it? And what instruments do you all play? What roles do you have?
Okay, well, Innakill, believe it or not, has actually been around for about 2 years. We've had several lineup changes. We've been through, I believe, 4 guitarists and 2 vocalists. The track you just heard is our final lineup. It consists of myself on the bass guitar. We have Kenny McMillan, or as he likes to be called, Kenny 45. Don't ask. He's our vocalist. We have Paul Pascal Jr. He's our lead guitar player. We have Josh Burns, rhythm guitar, and we have Chris Sheriff, who's our drummer.
Okay.
All
local boys. I was joking about Roswell earlier. I have to admit that it is one of the places on my list of neat places I want to visit. And I've traveled a lot, but I've never actually made it there. In fact, the only part of New Mexico I've ever visited is Taos, which I found to be a rather curious, artsy town. Again, would have been better placed in some part of California.
Right.
Does Roswell have much of a music scene? Tell us about the town.
Roswell, we're stuck in a valley. We have a couple of outside communities, but other than that, we're basically in any direction a good 100 miles from any other major city. So we're kind of stuck to amuse ourselves. And musically,
maybe that's why the aliens like Roswell.
Well, yes, you know, it's private, out of the way, it's isolated, you know, perfect place for anything to happen, really. unfortunately, we do, on a serious note, we do have a lot of violence here. In fact, we had a double homicide this past weekend that hit pretty close to home. They were best friends of one of our bandmates, but I won't get into that, but that's the nature, that's the environment that we live in.
Wow.
And so music is, particularly metal, in my point of view, is just kind of our way of escaping. And I've done it since I was 15. I'm 35 now. Gosh, what have you. The music scene here, it's a little stagnant. I think every musician here has in one form or another played with each other at one time. That's kind of how cliquish we are, I guess you could say. Other than that, it's really not a successful scene as far as music goes.
How large a city is Roswell?
If I'm not mistaken, I think we're close to 50,000. We're somewhere between 30 and 50,000. Yeah.
Right. But yeah. People love to put labels on music genres, and as a reviewer and interviewer, I guess I'm one of the guilty parties. metal comes in about as many flavors as Baskin Robbins has ice cream.
No doubt.
Yeah. I'd be tempted to say that your music strays into the death metal arena, but I don't view you as strictly death metal. What's your view?
Well, my view is I think we're a little more, I would say we're, since we're just discussing ice cream, we're a lightly flavored death metal. We're probably more hardcore and nothing heavier. And I say that because vocally, we're probably not heavier than, let's say, Lamb of God. And they're really not considered death metal. Death metal to me is more of the if you can't understand it, it's pretty much death metal. You know, if it's any harder than what you just played, that's death metal. We're right there on the cusp, but we're not going to push it. I hope not, anyway. But,
right.
Yeah.
I was reading some articles about you. I have nothing better to do. the internet's a wonderful place. It's crammed with useless misinformation. At least one article claims that you play lead bass. Now, that's an interesting concept.
Yeah, I'll tell you how that come about. Because I compose on the bass, you know, I'm one of the main songwriters. I play the five string, so it helps a bit. The more strings, the better. When I compose music, I hear the entire song as if it were played by all the instruments. And I guess what I tend to do is fill in the dead spots, you know, as opposed to just a straight bass line. I would do more scales and more melodic parts on the bass to kind of give that fill in that I'm hearing. And then I will sell that to the rest of the guys, and then we just kind of ride around that or incorporate it, and there you have it. Well, I have been accused of playing the lead bass because of that. I'm a busy bass player. But at the same time, Simon, I can't even play the lead guitar, you know, so I don't know why people think I play the lead bass. I'm just busy, you know. That's pretty much where that is.
I have no idea if you own an iPod or one of those awful devices. I know I certainly don't. But if you did own one, whose music would you put on it? What are your musical influences?
Well, my longtime influences have been and always most likely will be Megadeth and Iron Maiden. They're not new, but there's a band that's new to me that I'm really enjoying, and that's Children of Bodom. They seem to be taking off, and I love how they compose their music. They're from Finland, I believe, and if you're familiar with that area, those musicians, they're pretty much classically trained, and that reflects in their, in what they create. And I love the foreign bands that do that. So Children of Bodom is pretty much is what's getting me pretty excited these days. But again, I'll always have Megadeth and Iron Maiden as my major influences.
Actually, I came across a band a while ago, and I think they were also from Finland, and they came with the curious label of folk metal. these guys actually had bagpipes and violins.
Wow.
And it was absolutely wild. I can't remember the name of the band right now, but I'll try and make sure I get it in the write up, because they're well worth looking up. The Music Rumor Mill has you slated to release a CD in July, but you know the Music Rumor Mill's about as reliable as the internet.
Right.
I've been told that it's called Barbed Wire Noose. Is
That's
this fact or fiction?
Well, it's I would tend towards more towards fact. We had planned on releasing this album actually by the end of this month and middle of July, but since then our original singer had more or less backed out about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And so luckily we did acquire the new vocalist, and so in a sense we haven't really skipped a beat, but we have to kind of go back, do some re-recording as far as that goes. And so hopefully we're still targeting mid-July, if not probably August, but we're not going to miss it by much.
And
it is called Barbed Wire Noose. That is correct, yes.
As I understand it, one of the tracks from this album is Gagged and Bound. So why don't we put that on the turntable? Now, there's a term you haven't heard in many years.
Yes, that's right. And before you play it, I would like to note, if you listen to the guitar and the bass line, they're doing the same thing. This was composed on my bass, so this is a perfect example of how I compose.
Okay, so this is Gagged and Bound.
Yeah, you'll never feel again. After you hear the glory of the nation, yeah.
that's an interesting track, and I'll basically retract what I said earlier on. That certainly was nowhere near death metal. That was
okay.
Much more regular metal.
I hope so.
I understand that you are actually getting some airplay for this track. Tell us what you know.
Yeah. Well, first off, I'd like to say I'm pretty surprised that that it's this track that's getting all the attention. This isn't the one I was planning on, but as luck would have it, well, you know, as the music industry would have it, there you go. But I have to contribute that to with the help of our manager from Out West X Entertainment, J.B. Griffin. He's helped push it, and also our publicist, Billy James. As far as the airplay goes, yeah, we first hit a lot of the independent internet radio stations. There have been two or three, maybe four or five that were being played on now, and we're actually being played on, well, as I understand it, I believe it's Deadlust that's being played on regular airplay, regular radio. And in fact, we just received a package last week from a Seattle radio station. They gave us, you know, T-shirts and stickers and what have you, just to thank us for submitting our single or what have you. And that just shocked me, you know. I didn't expect it to take off like this fast, and the album's not even done yet. So, in a way, I'm kind of worried. You know, I have something to live up to, you know.
That's right. Now you've got to finish the darn thing.
Right.
See, that's right. The music business, generally speaking, is a brutal one. Do you have a label, or are you going to self-publish?
We're self-publishing, but I will say that we are looking at a label, or I should say maybe a label's looking at us, but I'll refrain from getting any names. But that's where we're at. But we are looking at a self-release indie label. Yeah.
Right. The internet is a vital tool these days to any young band. In fact, any old band. I presume
right.
You have a website or two.
Oh, we have several, and just to save time, I'll say, okay, just if you go to these sites' search engines and type in Interkill, you'll find us. We're on MySpace, Reverb Nation, which is a big one, Facebook, Twitter, and there's two or three more that we're on. I'm trying to establish the profiles as we speak. But yeah, we're everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
And can people sample your music on these sites?
Definitely. The big ones you could probably sample from would be MySpace and or ReverbNation.com.
As far as composing goes, you're the main writer for the band?
Yes.
Okay, and as you mentioned earlier, your weapon of choice is the bass guitar.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how many musicians I've interviewed. It's well into triple digits, though. Most keyboard players, regardless of what they like to use on stage or in the studio, when pressed, admit that their favorite composing tool is the box standard piano. Most
right.
guitar players admit that, you know, regardless of what they use on stage, it's the acoustic guitar that works best. In fact, I've talked to a few well-known guitar players that also do a lot of tinkering on the piano. The old piano seems to be, you know, the weapon of choice. But
right.
there's you. You're the first person I've ever met right, that uses a bass guitar. I mean, why?
Well, For one, I don't even know how to play piano.
So. Okay, that's a good reason to not use the piano.
right. And I use the bass to compose, sometimes I will venture to a guitar. I've got two or three electrics laying around here, and I'll write on the bass first, and then I'll try to transpose it to the guitar, and then I'm sloppy at it, but I'll do it, and then I show my guitarist how to do it, and then he can clean it up, and he basically does what I want him to do, and that's pretty much how it works. Yeah.
Are you guys pretty active gigging?
We are focusing on the album right now, but I will tell you, we have gigs lining up. We're starting the tour in August, and it's going to be known as our 2009 Killing Spree. And I believe we're going to be kicking it off in San Antonio, and we will be all over Texas. It looks to be like we're going to be in Oklahoma, Kansas, Colorado, New Mexico, most of the Southwest.
Wow, that sounds like a pretty serious road tour.
Oh yeah, and we're ready. We're psyched. We're ready. We're upping our practice days. We're just ready to go, and that's what we want to do. And we have a lot of options that are available to us as far as touring, but this Central Texas Southwest tour is what's looking to be the promising one that we're going to be kicking off with.
But you're not going to be making it as far as Mississippi.
Hey, we're looking at Florida dates, so, we can sure, roll on through there. I'm sure we will, and, JB's on it. He's going to help us out. And if anybody wants us, we'll do what we can to get there, within reason.
I mentioned earlier the music biz is an ugly one. Mm-hmm. A young band like yourself has to be out there pushing and prodding to get noticed. And
yeah,
this might be before your time, but. I think you said you're 35 years old, so...
That's correct, yeah.
Maybe not. There was a movie released a few years back. It was called The Coal Miner's Daughter, and it
mm-hmm.
was about country singer Loretta Lynn.
Right.
Her and her husband basically drove from town to town, dropping in on radio stations and talking to DJs, and dropping off demo discs. And a couple of months ago, I was talking to another musician, Tokyo Rosenthal, I think it was, and he took the same approach. He basically filled his trunk with demo CDs and went touring the Eastern Seaboard, just stopping at radio stations and saying, here's my new CD.
Right.
What are you guys doing to generate some buzz?
Well, we're relying on the good old internet. Our society today is an internet, IT, society. We take these avenues such as MySpace, all these social sites that are up now. We take advantage of the independent radio sites. And the independent radio stations, internet radio, they're pretty easy to get onto because they're actually looking. They're actually extending their hand and extending their welcome to say, hey, any indie bands that are wanting to get some airtime, hit us up, we'll do it. As opposed to having to knock on somebody's door and beg them, please take my demo, that seems to be a little easier. But as far as mainstream or corporate or what have you, it's almost impossible, it's almost impossible to make it that way. You know, it's about time, it's about investment, it's about money. And I think what these labels are looking for are tried and true bands that are willing to do most of the grunt work, you know, instead of them do it. Because, you know, again, it's a money thing. They don't want to spend all this money and then, you know, what have you. So if they say that independent bands is, you know, is a hobby, in a way they're right, but it's also a job. I mean, you know, there's times I'm on this internet at least 4 to 5 hours a day, just pushing, and that's what we have to do. You know, it's a bit of a sacrifice, but if it's something you love to do, then you wouldn't mind really doing it.
Oh, I totally agree with you.
I hope that answered your question. I'm not sure I did, but
well, yes, it did. I mean, I have a big resentment against the major labels. When I'm not doing music, I also do books, and I feel very much the same way against the larger publishing houses.
Right.
You know, it's reached the stage where, well, if you don't have a New York Times bestseller under your belt, don't even bother knocking on our door. And I read hundreds of books. This year it'll probably be 150 books.
okay.
And, you know, there are so many really, really good independent writers out there, but they can get no recognition. And, you know, the same is true in the music industry.
Right.
You know, the big labels want what will sell to MTV and nothing else.
Right.
Yeah, I feel tremendously sorry for the smaller band. Anyway, I hate to say this to you, but my automated nag, known as my producer, is whining in my ear to wrap this up. So,
definitely.
Chuck Ivey, I really want to thank you for taking time to talk to us this afternoon, and I'm sure I speak for everyone at Blogger News in wishing you and Innakill all the success. And I also hope that you will keep in touch. I would love to have the opportunity to review the entire CD when you get it out. And
okay.
I'm sure we will talk again.
I certainly hope so, and I appreciate your time as well. And as soon as this CD is done, I will shoot you a copy of it, you know, whatever form you desire, CD or MP3. And yeah, I'd like to get to get on here again sometime soon, hopefully. And again, thank you for your time, sir.
My pleasure. Okay, this is Simon Barrett from Blogger News Network, wishing everyone a great afternoon. And we'll have another show coming up soon. In fact, tomorrow. Okay, goodbye.